Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
If you were listening to yesterday's Lunchtime Live, you'll know I was chatting to Barbara Brooke from Birth Trauma Ireland about why there's calls for an inquiry into birth trauma here.
Interpersonal relationships within your care provider can actually lead to four times as much trauma. And that's something that we really need to look at, because that's something that's easy in a way. It's an easy fix because it's about compassion and it's about consent and it's about things that we have a lot of control over.
It's the women in Ireland, women of Ireland who've been affected by birth trauma, say that they need this inquiry now to try and reflect the scale and the impact of what's happened. A lot of people got in touch. A lot of listeners overnight sent in emails, some who want to come on air, some who don't, but just want to share their stories with us. Belinda, you were listening to the programme yesterday. Why did you get in touch?
Just on the trauma, Andrea, I have three beautiful kids, but each pregnancy I had a story of trauma with them. I had preeclampsia on all three of them. On my first child, it was very bad, so I was in the hospital for 2 months. I wasn't allowed out.
Okay.
And then during the labour, I remember just opening my eyes and there was about five people around my bed telling me that she couldn't breathe, or the baby, I didn't know what she was at the time, couldn't breathe. They had to give me an injection up inside me into her head to try and give her oxygen, and that I was being rushed down to get a cesarean. And then after, within 2 minutes, she texted me and went, "No, you're going to actually deliver the baby." But after that, I was, for 3 months after that, I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit down properly to feed her. And all sorts of things happened to me during that pregnancy. And I got a thing called spontaneous urticaria all over my body, where my eyes swelled up, my lips. So I was in and out of hospital after that for three months. Plus I had postnatal depression on three of them. But my second child, he was the more traumatic one, whereas when I was induced on all three of them, so being induced to me was horrific to be told when I was going to have them. But plus I knew when I was induced that my labour pains, they were literally coming one after the other. I didn't get a break. I couldn't breathe. So it was like, and I had to go through that for like nearly 9-12 hours. The epidural wouldn't work on me.
Nice.
But on the second one, Andrea, now, I remember being told to run down to the labour ward. With the contractions, I was leaking a lot of water. And plus, when I got there, I needed to go to the toilet and they wouldn't let me go to the toilet. And I remember them coming in to try and put the epidural in, and I don't know what he was doing. He was there for quite a while and he just couldn't do it. He left the room, and as he left the room, the girl left the room as well. And with that, there was something squirting out of my arm. I don't know what it was. It was something they had put in my arm. And then a woman came rushing in to say, "You can't go to the toilet, you're about to deliver your baby." So when I did eventually deliver my second baby, he literally just shot out.
So you were, and it's aside even just going through, Belinda, you know, the actual birth, it was the physical difficulties and complications that you yourself had for such a long period after this.
With the pre, yeah. And kind of when I did give birth to Oscar, they rushed him away and were working on him for a long time before they even told me what was going on. Like, I didn't know. And it was horrific. And then my third child, when they induced me, it came on pretty quick. And I was left in a bed in a pool of water for about half an hour, and it was actually my partner had to run down to the ward I was previously in to get somebody to come up to me. And when they did come up and see him, you know what I mean, I was literally soaking from head to foot. They helped me get dressed, clean the bed, and then they noticed that there was coloured water, meaning that the child had gone to the toilet, which is, I mean, it's very dangerous. But when the nurse came back to me, she kind of said it in a jokely way, which I wasn't in any humour, that, you know what I mean, Jesus, you couldn't, you had to make a lot of drama when I was having my lunch, do you know what I mean? Now you have to go down to the labour ward.
Did anybody, Belinda, you know, after the three births that you had and what you went through, did anybody sit down at any stage or do they and talk to you about birth trauma and what you went through?
No. I know my doctor, when I had to go to my doctor when I got my first with the spontaneous urticaria, she did tell me that she thought it was the trauma that my body went through giving birth to my first child and being postnatal depression. She just said it's just a lot of stress in you and this is how your body reacts. But nobody in there. I did go on the second pregnancy. I did go in to it was a doctor and, you know, told him that, you know, being induced, how my contractions were one after the other. I didn't get a minute to breathe. He just turned around and said, well, that's just you with your body. We can't do anything about it. So I was terrified of that happening again, which it did through all three
of them. Yeah, it did. What about you, Vicky? Stay with us, Belinda, if you don't mind for a moment.
No,
I've got Vicky on the line as well. Vicky, what was your experience?
Hi, Andrea. I'm Korean, married to Irish, and I had my first child in Dublin in 2012. And I'm 5'3", 9 stones, but my son was 11.2 pounds. And even though my GP was warning me that, like, your baby's too big for you, but the doctors let me go overdue 10 days. So baby got bigger. And I kept asking, okay, can you at least measure the baby that we can see what to do? And they refused to measure the baby because I was under public system. Their excuse was that if they do that to me, they have to do it for everyone. That was the excuse. So I had the emergency section after 20 hours of labor pain, and I lost too much blood, and my whole body was covered with bruises after the surgery. And shortly after I was sent home, I had an infection kicked in, so I was sent back to the hospital by ambulance. So, but like my point is that my whole experience could have been prevented if they listened to me. Yeah.
You were listening to Barbara and some of the other callers that I was talking to on the show yesterday, Vicky, and the fact that, you know, there's been an inquiry in the UK, and what they found there recently was that they described when you get good maternity care in Britain, that's the exception rather than it is the rule. And there's now calls from the group Birth Trauma Ireland, who we were talking to here on the show yesterday. They want an inquiry now carried out here. Do you think we need one?
I completely agree with them. And I think women really need support because I didn't get any support after my experience. And I was so sick after that. Like, I think it took a whole year for me to recover physically. Yeah, and if there was any support from the group, it would have been really, really helpful for me.
So there was really, and even in the follow-up appointments that you would have had, Vicky, with your baby after, you know, after you gave birth, was there any focus around what you went through physically?
Not at all. I just heard that my body will produce a baby that I can handle. That was the... I don't know.
That was
what I heard, yeah. And there was no support, nothing. And I went back to Korea after a few months and I went to my doctor and he was quite shocked to hear my experience that they didn't measure the baby because it was very obvious. Everybody will ask me, am I having twins? Because it was very obvious that I was having a big baby, but there was no action. And after my horrible experience, there was no other follow-up action.
And you had no follow-up either, Belinda? There was just no follow-up at all?
No, not at all.
Michelle Flynn is with us on the line too. Michelle is a psychotherapist. How often, Michelle, do you deal with women who've suffered birth trauma in your clinic?
Yeah, hi, Andrea. It's incredibly common. And I think when a birthing person has gone through a birth trauma or reproductive trauma, they are much more likely then subsequently to present with a mood and anxiety disorder. So something like postnatal depression or anxiety or OCD. And often that's really how they end up coming to psychotherapy. And when we kind of start the work together, it becomes clear there actually was a significant trauma that happened either during the birth or even prior to the birth, you know, somewhere along their pregnancy journey or their fertility journey. It is incredibly prevalent. And I think there just isn't enough information out there. There isn't enough education out there for people. And I think often it goes missed.
I think a lot of people yesterday when we were talking to Barbara Brooke about this from Birth Trauma Ireland, like most people will describe, you know, childbirth as traumatic, but I suppose it's understanding the difference between that and birth trauma.
Yeah, absolutely, Andrea. And I think, I suppose, firstly to say, look, trauma is in the eye of the beholder. You know, we know that. So two people can go through the exact same scenario with the exact same outcome. And one person could have experienced it as traumatic while the other didn't. And there's loads of factors that play into that. You know, it's how the nervous system kind of makes sense of the experience. I'd like to really differentiate between, you know, of course there can be medical complications, obstetric emergencies that can lead to trauma, but sometimes even people who've gone through those kind of medical complications don't end up with a trauma response or with symptoms of PTSD. So trauma can be, I mean, it could be something like feeling like they weren't being listened to, you know, feeling like they were being ignored in the hospital, and experiencing themselves as unimportant or experiencing themselves as an inconvenient. You know, any of those things can lead to an experience of trauma. And I think that's where it sometimes gets missed, or, you know, where maybe, you know, we hear women and men. And can I just say as well, Andrea, you know, a lot of men experience birth trauma as well, or non-birthing partners, you know, for exactly the same reasons. Either they've witnessed their partner going through an obstetric complication, or they've had those same kind of feelings I've described earlier, you know. So it's really common, and I really, really would be 100% behind this inquiry for the Irish medical system and maternity care.
What do you think needs to, like, you know, the query I have, I suppose, with the inquiry, yeah. and like, I very much get a sense from the stories I heard yesterday and Belinda and Vicky today, and like, I've more emails here, you know, might read some of them in a moment as well, that there is need and there's a desire and there's a want for an inquiry into birth trauma in Ireland. But in your eyes, what happens when you get the recommendations or the findings of that? Like, what's the ultimate goal, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, I was listening yesterday, I think it was Barbara that you had on, and talking a lot about the idea of kind of trauma-informed care. And I think that is really important, you know, that practitioners are upskilled and they're educated on what that really looks like. But I take that even one step further, Andrea, in that we can't, you know, a traumatized system cannot provide trauma-informed care, you know. And what that means is, like, we know that medical practitioners, particularly in obstetrics, the rates are higher for what we call vicarious trauma, which is basically trauma that happens as a result of witnessing other people's trauma. I mean, these nurses and doctors are seeing, you know, you name it, they've seen it day in and day out. That's going to have an impact, you know. They're going to have had their own experiences of birth, probably, and their own stories of birth trauma. You know, all of that comes in. And if the people who are providing the care are not given adequate support in the form of, like, resources, in the form of time, in the form of, you know, clinical supervision, if they're not adequately held and supported, they cannot, it's impossible for them to provide the kind of care that actually women and men in the system need.
Just take a listen to this email, if you don't mind, Michelle, for a moment. Mm-hmm. It came in from Laura, and it was one of many that caught my eye this morning. But I just want to read some of it. Just if listeners will just bear with me for a moment till I bring you this email. I had an awful birth experience. It was my firstborn, says Laura. I was 2 weeks overdue. I was told I'd be induced, but my waters broke that morning, so I went in. I was eager to be seen. I was told over and over that I wasn't in labour. Yet when they checked me, nobody scanned me the entire time, and this went on for 23 hours and only then was I induced. Finally, after 40 hours, the four nurses then told me to push, and I did that for 1 hour, only to be told I'd need some help. They said I was going to have a C-section and we had to go right away. Then people started to panic. One midwife kept repeating, this is an emergency C-section. I was told that my baby was in the wrong position, something I'm sure could have been checked almost 2 full days previously to avoid all of this. This was the most communication that I'd had with anybody, and I must have been seeing about 30 different faces in the entire 2 days. I was fully induced and in labour, and all medication I had previously been given had worn off, so I was in absolute agony. I couldn't sit still for the anaesthetic for the surgery. Four new midwives had to come in to hold me down to get the needle in, and throughout this time I kept hearing a midwife saying, we're losing fetal heartbeat. It was horrific. My partner wasn't allowed in for this part, so I was alone in there and honestly thought that myself and the baby were going to die. Afterwards, I was just so happy to have my little girl that I didn't complain or make a fuss, but it did stay with me for a long time, and it all just came back to me listening to the show yesterday. There's a lot of emphasis put on the baby in the pregnancy and in birth and after birth, but there's very little put on the mother. A measly 6 week checkup doesn't begin to cover the emotional and physical reassurance and guidance that mums need, especially as a first time mother. I think I know that now, but like your guest said, I suppose I didn't value myself enough then, as I was told I was just lucky that we both got through it safely. It's not good enough. More needs to be done for mums throughout pregnancy and after. And that's just one, Michelle, of so many emails that came in.
I know, gosh, Andrea. And, you know, unfortunately, that story is not unfamiliar to me, you know, and I'm really sorry to hear that story that Laura went through. I mean, that does sound really scary. Really,
it's terrifying.
Terrifying, you know, and she did say something there that I think was really important that I'd like to highlight. She said about the communication, you know, that nobody was, she could hear all of this going on. She knew there was an emergency, but nobody was communicating with her. Nobody was connecting with her, you know, and we know that when we're in that flight or fight, if we have connection, like I think Barbara mentioned yesterday, it's the interpersonal trauma that has the biggest impact. If we have somebody who's there, who we feel that seeing us, you know, hearing us, listening to us, they're on our team, that can be the difference between, you know, PTSD or not in that kind of a situation. You know,
the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. If you want to get in touch, like Belinda or Vicky there, and share your story, or Laura as well with me, that's psychotherapist Michelle Flynn. I've no doubt we're going to come back to this again. We might chat about it even in more detail to follow up on Monday if you want to get in touch. But we'll leave it there for the moment. And thank you as well, I should say, to everybody who dropped me an email overnight, because I know it's a very personal experience to share. So we do appreciate you taking the time to send us your experience.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.